It was 2006, and I was on my third trip to New Orleans after the floods, and I was really discouraged. Anybody that was in the city at that time, even a year after the floods, knew what a disaster everything was. It's one of those rare occasions where the news underestimated the extent of the catastrophe. You just can't not imagine how bad it was. And I was having trouble wrapping my mind around how the city was ever going to come back, and that maybe we'd lost this cultural treasure, you know, in addition to all the human tragedy, just this absolute cultural treasure looked like it may not come back. Then at the end of my trip, it was at the very end, it was the last night, and I thought I'd go down to Frenchman and hear some music. And this is what I heard. And it was Love at First Solo. And I just happened to have one of those little pocket video cameras with me at the time, and I captured this fragment of music. Didn't have many digits left on the phone, so I could only get a little piece. I'll tell you why I love this solo so much. Number one, above all things, it had fire. It wasn't some tired attempt at jazz repertoire. It was living, breathing, fire-breathing music. Number two, the horn had a voice. There was a human being speaking through this thing. It was not somebody blowing air and pushing buttons. And number three, the solo told a story. And I am a firm believer that no matter what you're doing harmonically, how far out you get, you can go far out as far as I'm concerned, but whatever you do, you better be telling a story. And I thought this was a nice, beautiful short story. And the thing that made me really pay attention was the music was coming out of a young woman, maybe in her mid-20s. I don't know how old she was, but, you know, a young person. And that gave me hope. That made me think, wow, even after this epic catastrophe, the artists are still coming back to New Orleans. They're still honoring the music. Again, not in some tired, repetitive way, but in a very living, lively way. Now, a year later, when I came back, I saw this same musician playing an alto saxophone. That was recorded at the French Quarter Festival, which is a great festival to go to. It's in New Orleans. It's usually in the spring. You can look it up on the internet, and it's free. And I don't know how crowded it is these days, but when I used to go, it was definitely manageable, and the music was amazing. And that was a band called the Panorama Jazz Band. And the saxophonist on alto is Aurora Neeland, and which you heard before was her the previous year, 2006, on soprano saxophone. And I said to myself, this is a really promising player. you know, maybe I'm deluded, but I think she really gets it and she's going places. Well, I'm proud to announce that in 2015, she won Best Saxophone Player in New Orleans, and she just won it again this year. So I couldn't have been too far off. She's gone on to start many projects. One of them is a band called, I believe it's called the Royal Roses. You'll have to look it up, but it's something like that. And here's what it sounds like.
New Orleans, that was the place where the music was natural as the air. The people were ready for it like it was sun and rain. A musicianer, when he played in New Orleans, was home. And the music, when he played it, would go right to where he sent it. The people there were waiting for it. They were wanting it.
And that was T. Ralph, T being short for petit, which means little. So that really means Little Ralph, written by Sidney Bechet in 1939 and performed by Aurora Neeland and the Royal Roses in Preservation Hall. So Aurora definitely has great jazz chops, and she has done quite a bit, along with her friends, to breathe fresh life into this beautiful traditional style and approach to jazz. But she's also got a theatrical side, which makes sense when I discovered not long ago that she attended the, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name, Jacques Lecot School of Physical Theater in Paris. And so in addition to being a jazz musician, she's also engaged in other arts with other artists. And I want to show some of this theatrical side in the next two pieces. Enjoy.
Tell me the story about how you met Grandpa.
Oh, you want to hear that story? He chased me for about 12 or 13 years. We didn't go out together, but he just had his eye on me.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In that small cafe, a park across the way, the children's carousel, a chestnut tree wishing well. Well, I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day, in everything that's light and gay. I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun. I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing.
And he had his eye on me, but he was shy, believe it or not. How he got to me was he used to give driving lessons. And so he gave my mother driving lessons, $1 apiece. And so he worked his way around. Well, doesn't your daughter want to have lessons? Because we had a car, an old Chevy at that time. And so I went out and I kept saying, well, I'm ready to go for my test. He says, I'll tell you when you're ready. You're not ready. So in the meantime, he'd ask me out to a movie. That was the style then. To a movie, and after the movie, we'd go have some ice cream, take a walk and talk and all that. And he'd be holding my hand and watching me, not the movie. It is the movie up there, right? This. Oh, I hated it. I used to say to my girlfriend, that he's the last man on earth. I'd never marry him. And he kept going out. He kept holding my hand. And before you know it, he went overseas.
For the war?
Everybody was sending care packages. Which is, I think you ought to send Aaron a care package. Next thing you know, he's writing me letters. Dear Helen and love Aaron. So first thing he came back out of the service, he called me up. And is this the phone number? You know, is this your phone number? I said, guess it is, you reached me. And my mother said, well, you couldn't do any worse. So he asked me out and I went, and that's where it all started.
Wow.
As I always wanted someone who could stand on his own two feet. And take care of himself if he thinks he's going to involve me. So from then on, we start going out together. I don't know.
Your letter today, and I miss you all so much here. I can't wait to see you all, and I'm counting the days here. I still believe that there's gold at the end of the world, and I'll come home to Illinois on the day after tomorrow. It is so hard here, and it's cold, and I'm tired of taking orders, and I miss old Rockford town up by the Wisconsin border. But I miss you, won't believe, shoveling snow and raking leaves. And my plane will touch down on the day after tomorrow. I close my eyes every night, and I dream that I can hold. They fill us full of lies. Everyone buys about what it means to be a soldier. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about all the blood that's been spilled. Will God on his throne get me back home on the day after turns the wheel, who rolls the dice on the day after fighting for freedom. I am fighting for my life and another day in the world here. I just do what I've been told. We're just the gravel on the road, and only the lucky ones come home on the day after tomorrow. Summer, it too will fade, and with it brings a winter's frost, dear. And I know we two are made of all the things that we have lost here. I'll be 21 today. I've been saving all my pay, and my plane will touch down on the day after tomorrow.
And that was a composition by Tom Waits, Day After Tomorrow, arranged and performed and sung by Rora Neeland. And before that, I'll Be Seeing You, the tune, the music by Sammy Fain, and the lyric by Irving Cahal. And if anybody ever did a more touching version of that tune, tell me about it. I haven't heard it. So the next piece that we're going to hear from Rora is called Shall Not Want, and it's from her Monocle project. And that's what this podcast is about. Rora is staging a big performance in New Orleans at the end of this month, and she is very close to raising all the money she needs to pay all the musicians and artists. And I think someone with this kind of talent, who has been such a bright light in New Orleans for so many years and has contributed so much, and who's creating a payday for her fellow musicians and artists, should be supported. This project is not a jazz project, but it reminds me of what Duke Ellington used to say. He didn't really like to be called a jazz musician, even though he played jazz pretty well. He wanted to be considered a creative musician, and he wanted to be free to go in any direction. So we're going to hear a piece from the upcoming project. It's called Shall Not Want. And the project in New Orleans is, it's music, it's theater, it's a concert, it's an exploration, it's a collaboration, and it's spectacle of sound and image. And I guarantee that all these things and more will be delivered. So if you want to support an artist who's supported New Orleans for all these years and has been really faithful to the music and is doing some very interesting creative stuff, you can click on the link below or try to read what's on the screen. Unfortunately, it's through Kickstarter. Some of you may be familiar with it. You got to join Kickstarter in order to contribute. It's not too hard to do. It's pretty easy, actually. So anyway, with no further ado, we're going to hear Shall Not Want, written and arranged by Aurora Neeland.
I shall not want this feeling to disappear. But I shall not hold, shall not hold this feeling dear. For I am understanding time. Yes, I am understanding time. I will not fight, though madmen taught my heart to be a fist. No, I'll fight myself. A memory made and mistook will bruise and heal. For understanding time. I am understanding
That was Shall Not Want from the Humankind album, the Monocle Project of Aurora Neeland. And the end of this month, March 29th through 31st, she'll be performing and extravaganza of her music at the Contemporary Arts Center in New Orleans. It's music, it's theater, it's a concert, it's an exploration, it's a collaborative spectacle of sound and image. A lot of musicians involved, a lot of stage artists involved. This is going to be a great show. If you're in New Orleans, definitely go to it. And she's just a hair away from succeeding with her Kickstarter account. The goal is to generate as much money as possible to pay the artists and musicians involved. That's a very good cause. We've heard Aurora's music. We know she's the real deal. We know she's been a great contributor to New Orleans, including in those dark days right after the flood. And I would take it as a personal favor. If you have some extra bread that's weighing you down, this is a good place to put it. This is Ken McCarthy for Jazz on the Tube, and you can click on the link below. It'll take you straight to the Kickstarter campaign, and you can see how close she is. It'd be a shame if she didn't make it for lack of a few bucks. Thanks a lot. Hope you enjoyed the music.